This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Yesterday, the 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, spent time around Northwest Arkansas. He toured the site for Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville, walked inside the Clinton House Museum in Fayetteville, the house where he lived when he was a law professor at the University of Arkansas. He also met with the Northwest Arkansas Council and helped dedicate the Richard B. Atkinson Memorial Courtyard at the University of Arkansas's Law School. In the middle of all of this, he delivered the keynote address at a luncheon sponsored by the nonprofit organization Economics Arkansas, a group dedicated to increasing the amount of economics education for Arkansas students from kindergarten through high school. President Clinton spoke for almost 30 minutes yesterday afternoon, reminiscing about efforts to improve education in the state when he was governor and offering his opinions about the current economic state of the union.
I really do believe that one of the reasons we got in the mess we're in today in the country is that people didn't have enough economic literacy. And one of the reasons that I believe we're considering too few options for getting out of it is a lack of economic literacy. Somewhere along the way, economics either became of no concern to people and they didn't know anything, or it became more about theology than economics.
President Clinton more than once during his speech called for a reduction of political posturing to help ease economic problems. He says the American public shares some of the responsibility for the problems by taking credit cards to their limit and taking unwise second mortgages out on homes. He says the financial system bears some burden because too much growth in the last decade was based on finance, consumer spending, and housing, elements with inherent limits. And he says the government has blame as well.
For going back to permanent deficits and pretending that it doesn't matter how much debt you run and who you borrow the money from. And there's a big debate now in the Congress about whether there should be another round of stimulus funding, and you could make the argument that there should be if this were the 1930s, but in the 1930s, we financed our own deficits. We bought our own bonds. People like my grandfather, I remember him telling me when I was a little boy, he kept a little coffee pan full of cash, and when President Roosevelt said the country had to be put back to work, he went to that coffee can and got out a couple of bucks and bought a government bond. Today, all those government bonds are being bought by China and Japan and people we trade with, and as a result, and I say, you know, I'm a big free trader. I like to expand trade, and I think it's essential for us. We're only 4% of the world's population, and if we want to keep 20% of the world's income, we got to sell something to somebody else. But if you make a deal with somebody according to a certain set of rules, you got to be able to enforce your deal. We got people from Tyson here, they would no more sign a contract with a foreign company or a foreign purchaser that they couldn't enforce in somebody's court somewhere than a man in the moon. We've gotten in a position now where, since we're on the dole, we can't enforce our own trade agreements. Trade enforcement dropped 80% in the last 8 years because we're borrowing money from the same people who are sending us stuff to buy every month.
President Clinton spoke to an audience of about 1,000 people, each paid $100 for a ticket to the luncheon. In the audience, both of Arkansas's sitting U.S. Senators, former Congressman John Paul Hammerschmidt, Governor Mike Beebe, Jim Walton, John Tyson, and several other familiar and influential figures in regional and state policy. He acknowledged Northwest Arkansas's ability to remain relatively stable during the past 2 years of unemployment and slow economic growth. He challenged those in attendance to draw a comparison between the region and the country.
So think about where America is now and ask, if the whole country worked the way you do here in Northwest Arkansas, how would you be dealing with this economic crisis? First, let me just offer a couple of observations. We're having an economic education crisis now. First of all, you could say, well, we need to balance the budget. There's too much debt. And then someone would say, that's true, but if there's no economic activity and no inflation, you risk deflation. A lot of people are worried about that. But if you said what some of the people in my party said, is we need another round of stimulus, I would say that's true, but unlike when Roosevelt did it, we have to borrow the money from other people. And every time we do, we put ourselves in a deeper hole and undermine our national sovereignty and our children's integrity. So my answer is, Economics 101, do what Willie Sutton did. You got to be a certain age to know who Willie Sutton was. He was a famous criminal. He said he robbed banks because that's where the money was. Where is the money in America today? In corporate treasuries, $1.6 trillion that corporations have, they're prepared to invest, but they're scared to invest. We need to figure out why and remove the fear factor. $1.8 trillion in banks uncommitted to cash reserves. It's what a banker calls liquidity. The banks in America, and I mean community banks in Arkansas to the biggest banks in the country, are highly liquid, but they're not loaning money because they're worried about the risks. They don't know what the regulatory climate's going to be. They think the demand's not good. They're not sure the people will be able to pay it back. We need to do whatever we can to figure out how to get that done. As I said at the Northwest Arkansas Council meeting, I think we're like the cat that I learned about when I was a little boy, that the cat sits on a hot stove. The good news is the cat will never sit on a hot stove again. The bad news is the cat will never sit on a cold stove again. We're in the cold stove period here. And we need to give the cat a little courage. And we need to figure out how to do it. We're not going to do it with speeches. We're not going to do it with name calling. And neither side is going to get a thing done by screaming about it. This is a practical problem. What would it take to find opportunities with good paybacks for loans to be made? $1.8 trillion, folks, at conservative rates. We're not talking about, again, abandoning economics education. That's what Bear Stearns did when it got leveraged at 34-1 and why the walls came crashing down. We're talking about old-fashioned conservative banking, 10-1 leverage on average. What would it take for these bankers to feel good about loaning that money again? Or for small business people to want to go ask for the loan again? And we should do whatever it is, because that's where the money is. And until that happens, we are not coming back.
The 42nd president lamented the country's slip in its rankings of percentage of the population with college degrees. He told the audience that from the end of World War II until nearly the end of the 20th century, the United States ranked first in that category. In the past 12 years, he said, the country has fallen to 12th.
That is the worst economic statistic no one knows. It happened for a number of reasons. It happened because we have more and more young Americans whose first language is not English, who didn't get out of school with the skills they need to go to college. We have more and more people who were worried about supporting their families or paying their debt back, and they couldn't stay in college. And the cost of college increased after inflation 75% in the last 8 years. Now, a lot of that's been taken care of by changing the way it's financed, but we still got to think about that. The good news is the community college enrollment's booming again because of the recession. People are going back to school now because they couldn't. But you need to know how severe this is. There was a story in the press, I don't know how many of you saw it yesterday, I just saw it in one newspaper, which said that Federal Reserve study of the jobs that people are trying to fill, employers are trying to fill today, are being filled at only half as fast as they were in the much more modest recession that existed when I first became president. Think of that. They said, oh, yes, there are some jobs where there are 1,500 people apply for the vacancy. That's what all of us think, right? Because there are more people been out of work 6 months than any time since the Great Depression. But the overall job fill rate is only half what it was in that recession. Why? Because there's a mismatch between the skills the unemployed have and what the employers are trying to do. The only thing that can fix that, again, there's no liberal or conservative here. We're either going to fix it in Arkansas or everywhere else, or we're not. We're either going to have a continuous training program that works to fill these gaps, or we're not. We can debate about how to pay for it, who ought to do it, and all that. I don't really care. I just want us to do it again. We cannot afford to be 12th in the world in the percentage of people with college degrees, and we cannot afford to be filling jobs that are going begging today so slowly. Those are the people that would like to go borrow money for their small business They got business or they wouldn't be hiring people. So I ask all of you to think about that. If America were Northwest Arkansas, if all the problems that the country has were just here, how would we go about solving them? How would we educate our children about them? How would we educate adults about them? How would we educate working people who have a dream of a home and maybe they just don't have the income? Who's going to have the guts to tell them they need to wait 5 more years and save a little more money? They can't have one of these subprime mortgages. How would we do everything we need to do? How would we change the private sector and the public sector and what we truthfully tell our citizens about the way the world works? If it was just Northwest Arkansas, you guys would figure it out. So pretend instead of two counties, you got a country. And think about it. And give everybody your ideas. Economic education had a bigger role than a lot of people think in getting us thus far. But the real genius of this area has been, without maybe consciously realizing it, everybody, some way, somehow, every day, not just 1 year or 5 years, but for decades, was asking and answering the how question. Man, I'm old enough now and past my any time I'm going to run for anything, so I can, the great thing about being an ex-president, you can say whatever you think. The sad thing is nobody cares what you think anymore. Unless your wife is Secretary of State and you embarrass her by something you say, then they care. But I want to be serious. The only thing, when you're all said and done, the only thing that matters about all this is whether people are better off when you quit than when you started. Whether kids have a better future, whether we're coming together or being torn apart. The rest of it's all background music. Nothing else matters. And I just tell you, I've been all over the world now, and I am convinced that the most important question that we all have to answer now is the how question. We can all agree on how we'd like it to come out. But getting from here to there is the trick. And one thing I'm convinced of is we need more arithmetic and less hot air.
President Bill Clinton speaking at the Holiday Inn Convention Center in Springdale yesterday. He was the keynote speaker at a luncheon sponsored by Economics Arkansas, a nonprofit organization dedicated to increasing the amount of economics literacy in Arkansas's public schools. This is Ozarks at Large.